From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Welcome to the Wildcast podcast. I'm Arizona Daily Star sports editor Ryan Finley here with Greg Hansen. Greg Hansen, it is late May. As of Monday, the U of A athletic season, with the exception of track and a couple of other things, is essentially over. The Arizona baseball team did not make the NCAA regionals. The Arizona softball team was swept away by UCLA and the NCAA super regionals, which brings me, I guess, to a tweet. I had tweeted something on Monday saying, you know, I know a lot of U of A fans who'd be happy to see this, you know, athletic year in the rearview mirror. And Dave Hickey kind of called me out on it. He said, you know, that's kind of insulting to the people who work hard and that there's a lot to be proud of. And it was then that I realized that, oh, yeah, 5 days earlier, Arizona won a national championship in women's golf. Looking back on a whole, what do you make of the athletic year in 2017, 2018?
I thought it's probably the worst year in UA sports history since they joined the Pac-10.
Okay.
I mean, there's nothing else compares to it.
Well, it's strange. You know, you take golf away, right? I mean, and that golf championship was high drama and great television and incredible sports, I thought.
The best.
And I'm not a golf fan. I'm not a college golf fan. I found myself riveted to the TV for three straight days.
Yep.
But you take that away, and there's, like, literally nothing to be to hang your hat on outside of maybe Arizona got a good deal on a football coach.
The next best sport of the year, I think, was the soccer team that reached the second round of the NCAA tournament.
You're right.
And that's not a very good year when you're in the Pac-12.
No. And you know, you can look at Arizona's softball season and go, well, they made the Super Regionals. But you know what? That's the expectation here. And to make the Super Regionals and to get swept in two games in which you didn't really play them closely, I mean, that's not a success, I don't think. The U of A baseball team had the bases loaded down one in the ninth inning with nobody out and couldn't score, and that might have kept them out of the NCAA baseball tournament. I mean, if we can go on down the list, not to belabor the point, but a football coach was fired and paid off. A basketball team is under investigation, first by the FBI and soon by the NCAA.
Mm-hmm.
You have the Orlando Bradford issues, the Title IX issues, the ongoing lawsuits. Craig Carter gets thrown in jail. The U of A women's basketball team is not good.
Yeah.
I mean, the U of A swim program, I think, continues to develop. The track team, I think, is actually impressive.
They've got a couple guys.
Right. Jordan Geist is a once-in-a-generation kind of guy. But he's just one guy on a team of team of 80 or whatever. To me, it's hard to look at this year as anything but a super trying time for everybody associated with the University of Arizona.
I thought the fans got worn out too. The average guy in Tucson who follows U of A sports felt like he got punched in the stomach, I think, because there was no crescendo at any point.
No. And it's funny. I guess we can start with football. How quickly we forget Khalil Tate's performances, and you wrote about him earlier this week. That month-long stretch that he had where he torched Colorado, setting an NCAA rushing record for quarterbacks, where he beat UCLA here in Tucson, mm-hmm. which at the time was a very big deal.
And Washington State.
And Washington State. And, of course, at the time, we didn't know that UCLA stunk.
Yeah.
We didn't know Colorado stunk.
Yeah.
He was probably, I mean, halfway through the football season, he was a Heisman Trophy candidate, and maybe again in the fall.
And then indicative of the whole year, it went flat.
Yeah.
His November performances were average.
Well, when we talk a little bit about sort of how the football season ended, I mean, Khalil Tate gets banged up right before halftime in the ASU game. There is a debate as to whether or not he was injured on that play. Rich Rodriguez insists that he was injured well before that. There were people who insisted that he could have played if he had to, but didn't. I would argue that Rich Rodriguez's performance after that game in the news conference, coupled with maybe some issues with the bowl game, might have been an overriding reason why he was fired. And not just the $7 million lawsuit that an internal investigation found wasn't enough to fire him for cause.
Well, the puzzle of the year, and there's no answer yet, and maybe we'll never get a true answer on this, is that Rich Rod was fired like 10 minutes after it was announced he was going to be sued by
Melissa Wilhelmsen.
Yeah. I mean, and that was January, what, 4th?
Second.
Yeah. So why did they wait till then?
Right. Well, and if the plan was to fire him for performance or lack thereof, why did they let him hire an offensive line coach 6 days before their bowl game?
They created some real mystery on that one, and we'll probably never know.
We'll probably never know. To me, and with Rodriguez, this is really silly. And it was sort of buried because so much happened right afterwards. Do you remember the Fox microphone scandal the day of the bowl game? Right before, Fox put a TV camera inside Arizona's locker room right before the game. And they caught Rich Rodriguez's pregame speech. At the end of the speech, the team all chanted something that sounded like, "Shut the F up."
Yeah, I remember that.
Now, for me and you, I swear periodically, it doesn't harm my delicate ears. I didn't necessarily have to turn to a child and say, "Never say that," right? But if you're somebody like Dave Hickey, or if you're somebody like Robert Robbins, if you're people who are very sensitive to the way Rich Rodriguez was affecting the national perception of your program, was that a thing? Was that one of the seven things that got brought up at the end? Is that why he was allowed to coach in the bowl game, something happened at the bowl game, and then he was fired?
That's very, very possible. I think it all just added up that he was a very difficult person to get along with.
Mm-hmm.
The community didn't go with him.
Right.
And next year, living with him for another year was going to be very uncomfortable for all involved,
mm-hmm.
the administration, all the way to the fans.
Mm-hmm.
I just think they'd finally said, "We're not going to live with this guy anymore."
Right. And at some point, look, what you're allowed to get away with as a coach is directly related to how many games you win, right?
Yep.
Even at Sean Miller's peak, he was censured by the Pac-12, right? He can say and do things that, Ernie Kent at Washington State cannot, right? To me, that's part of it, too, is Rich Rodriguez ceased to be worth the trouble.
That encapsulates it. His performance after the ASU game overrode any victory in the season, I thought.
Right.
His childish behavior in front of Dave Hickey was in the room. Remember that?
Yep.
I thought maybe walking out of the door that day, Hickey thought, "I don't want this guy to run our football program anymore." Right.
And at some point, too, we see this with contracts all the time. The longer they let him linger there, the more you're forced to extend him, right? You're not just – nobody in college athletics plays out the string of their contract. And so you would have owed him a $3 million retention bonus in March. At some point next year, if they won 9 games or 10 games, he would have hand, to use a Seinfeld term, right? He would have hand. Otherwise, you would be forced to not only extend him but give him a raise. And if he's not a guy who you are comfortable being married to for the next 5 years, maybe you make that decision to move on when they did in December.
The big showdown was coming. He had not been extended the year before.
Correct.
So he was only going to have 3 years left
if
Hickey had not extended him.
Right.
And to me, that was a pretty easy call. Why extend him?
Well, and coaches must have some sort of backroom deal with coaches where I think they all make it sound like, well, if you don't have at least 4 years left on your contract, you can't recruit. That's why lots of coaches get lots of buyouts.
They all memorize that chorus.
It's funny. We're 8 minutes into this podcast, and we haven't mentioned Book Richardson or Sean Miller yet. I think if we're talking about the overall biggest story of the 17-18 year, it's probably that.
Oh, yeah.
Book Richardson is arrested in late September. He's charged with a handful of conspiracy-related crimes. Sean Miller basically distances himself from Book Richardson immediately out of the gate, promotes an internal guy to take Book Richardson's spot, and things stay relatively calm until February when Miller's implicated in an ESPN story saying that they may have paid DeAndre Ayton. Back to the initial Richardson thing. That has to go down as a top three all-time U of A sports news story, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, because it had immediately shut down Arizona's progress in basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Put them in neutral, they're still in neutral.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in neutral in college basketball for 8 months like they are,
mm-hmm.
with no end to it,
right,
you have no chance.
Right.
You can be okay,
mm-hmm.
and Arizona should be okay, but okay doesn't work.
Well, and their recruiting kind of stopped there. Brandon Williams decommitted and then recommitted. So that says something. But, you know, Bol Bol was out. Shaq O'Neal's son, Sharif, was out. Things stopped. And, you know, all of a sudden, you know, I mean, we just said, football coaches think they're getting a raw deal if they don't have 4 years left on their contract. All of a sudden, people were wondering if Sean Miller would be here in 4 months or 4 minutes. Sean Miller's expected to speak to the media tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So maybe we'll get some more insight from him about that whole scenario. My guess is we won't. To me, or to you, Greg, what, given the benefit of 6 months of hindsight, what do you make of what went down between, say, September and February?
I don't think there's an answer to that.
Nope.
And Book Richardson is still not due for his trial until April.
Right. Of next year, April 2019.
He still lives in Tucson.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, talk about a guy who's stuck in neutral.
Mm-hmm.
And probably backing up Book mm-hmm. Richardson.
Yeah. He went to the NBA Combine, got an okay from a judge to go to the NBA Combine, and I don't think anything came of it.
He wasn't allowed in mm-hmm. the facility.
Right. So he hung out in the hotel.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to paint a sympathetic picture of a guy like Book Richardson.
Yeah.
After all, he was the one who reportedly committed federal crimes. He's the one who the federal government says was not only paying a player, but basically saying he was going to use his influence as these guys' father figures to help his new business associates. That said, it's hard not to feel bad for him a little bit. I mean, he's in Tucson. He can't travel. He can't leave town. He doesn't know where his next paycheck is coming from.
Yeah.
You know.
He's got family, too.
Yep. You hope for a
swift. He's got grandkids living with him.
And you hope for a swift resolution, I guess. You know, for kind of everybody's sake, I think.
To me, that is such an important sentence. A mm-hmm. swift resolution.
Right.
Come on. Next April?
Right.
Is that fair to anybody?
Right. Not, and again, I'm not a judge. I'm not a lawyer. But if you said right now, 2 years in jail, Book Richardson, he would fight that, I'm sure. But my goodness, if you got started now, it would all be over in 2 years. Right now, this won't even get started for another 10 months.
And it's unfair to Sean Miller, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
To me, that's what's said less, is what if he has no involvement in anything and yet his career is tattered,
mm-hmm.
his program is stuck,
mm-hmm.
and if he did nothing, mm-hmm. look at the punishment he's paying.
Right, right. He is either, it's a great point. I mean, this is either going to be the greatest victimization of anybody in the history of college sports, or this is going to be an unhappy ending for Sean Miller at Arizona.
Right.
If not now, then down the road.
If he has done nothing, how does he...
Right.
How does he get repaid?
Right.
He doesn't. He just gets beat up.
Right. I mean, I guess he could start by suing people.
Yeah.
But those cases are hard to win. And also, you know what? With the ESPN story, I mean, we talk about this all the time. We're one more news story away from this thing taking a left-hand turn in another sure. direction. I mean, we could find out that whoever the leak was lied. Or we could find out that Sean Miller actually did talk to the guy.
Yeah.
I mean, Sean Miller could be gone in 3 months or, in his words, vindicated in three mm-hmm. months, depending on what else comes out. And the fact is we don't – there's not enough information out there right now for me to say unequivocally whether or not he should be Arizona's head basketball coach.
And the people paying the bill, other than Sean Miller, mm-hmm. are the Tucsonans who buy the tickets and spend with their emotions – following this basketball team
mm-hmm.
because next season's going to be like a
right.
just an empty season.
Right. And if Sean Miller somehow was not Arizona's head coach, Sean Miller could go somewhere else.
Yeah.
If you're a U of A fan born into it, I mean, you're going to have to wear it until they get better again.
I know it.
May 1st was a renewal deadline, I know, for both football and basketball tickets. And I wonder how many Tucsonans and U of A grads sort of looked at their checkbook and went,
yep.
How much again, you know, and how much of a benefit of the doubt they're willing to give not only Sean Miller, but Kevin Sumlin, frankly.
Yeah, it's not like he comes here with a shining resume in the last 5 years.
No, no.
That's a big question mark, too.
I know. Let's talk about Sumlin just real quick. I still think that it was the hire of the hiring season for Arizona to go get somebody who's probably among the five most recognizable coaches in college football. That's a very big deal. I think the way they framed it, though, I mean, they better deliver. You know, when they fired Rich Rodriguez, the statement from Dave Hickey and President Robbins was, today we are reaffirming who we are in the world, and we're going to get somebody who represents and reflects our values. That's setting a really high bar for Kevin Sumlin. That means not only must he win, but he must win and avoid scandal. He must win the right way. He must be well-liked by his players and his assistants and his fans.
They got to sell 14,000 more seats per game.
Right. Who does that? I mean, who
in... At Arizona.
Who at Arizona. That? I mean, in the Pac-12, how many people could we say that about? They win, and they're well-liked by everybody. Clay Helton and Chris Peterson, and maybe that's it.
And that it lasts. I mean, right. Colorado was good for a year.
Sure.
Utah is fairly good most years. Right. Washington State was good for 2 years.
Right. UCLA won its division and got a coach fired. ASU played in a conference championship game and got a coach fired.
Yeah.
I mean, it's no longer enough to just be good once. It needs to be sustained and done the right way.
It's Pac-12 football, and you know it as much as I do. It's so hard. If you just have 2 good years in a row,
oh, I know.
You are terrific.
I know. I mean, how about this? If you aspire to go 9-3, which isn't necessarily playing for a national championship here. If you aspire to go 9-3, just based on your schedule, you pretty much need to win all of your non-conference games, beat a Los Angeles school on the road, right? And beat a, let's say, a Washington school
right.
on the road. Or a Bay Area school. And beat ASU.
And you know how many times that's happened in 20 years in the regular season? Twice.
Twice. Wow.
20 years, twice.
98?
No, after 98.
Oh, after 20 years, yeah.
It happened the Nick Foles year.
That's right.
And then they lost the bowl game.
Right.
And it happened the Rich Rod year, and then they lost 2 games.
Right, they lost to Oregon and then lost the Fiesta Bowl. I still think that that Fiesta Bowl loss to Boise State set the program back 5 years.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Let's talk about the good, because we are 17 minutes in.
Right.
There was a lot of bad. Dave Hickey is right in one regard, in that some people did some really good things this year. Things that probably won't be remembered 5 years from now or 10 years from now, but things that are still definitely worth celebrating. National championship in golf being one of them.
They had a good diver, Delaney Chanel.
Mm-hmm.
They had just a historic 4x400-meter relay in the Pac-12
sure.
championships. And then there was...
right. I mean, DeAndre Ayton. I mean,
oh, sure.
If we're willing to separate DeAndre Ayton from the mess,
yeah.
right? DeAndre Ayton, I think, was a freshman unlike any the U of A's ever had. I think that that's something. I think that, frankly, the signing day that Adia Barnes had.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a program that had 1 5-star player ever, and they have 3 yes. coming in this next year. I think that that's something. I think that you look at... the story of somebody like a Randy LeBeau, baseball player, who got compartment syndrome. You know what this is?
Yeah, UVA's top distance runner in the mid-80s got the same thing.
Right.
Ended his career.
Wow. LeBeau gets it. He's essentially their ace. He gets it during a trip to Washington and needs 2 surgeries. Was told that he was out for the rest of the year. And then actually came back the last week of the regular season and pitched his butt.
Yeah, yeah.
Great. I think that's a story.
Their golfer, George Cunningham.
Yes.
Had a terrific season, went to the NCAA finals, and after 2 years of being in the wilderness.
Sure.
That Excellent. Was a good story.
Overcome some personal issues, too.
Yeah.
I mean, a guy, he's got a young kid at home,
and, yeah.
and dealing with all of that, that was a very big story. You know, I mean, you even look at somebody, you know, I mean, Mike Candrea is so close. I mean, I get the feeling that, I don't know, they can't keep butting their heads up against this wall.
Yeah, the league has gotten so much better around them.
Right.
I mean, UCLA is always going to be good.
Of course.
And now Oregon has replaced Arizona.
Sure.
And ASU has a pitcher who's going to be good for 3 more years, so they're going to be a World Series team
right.
for 3 more years.
Absolutely.
You got to get a World Series pitcher.
You do. You do. And, I mean, the little things. That Dave Rubio is still here going on his what year?
Almost 30th.
Almost 30th year here. And pumping out really good softball teams is huge. That Arizona's soccer program that was once thought to be brutal is now an NCAA, I mean, somewhat regular. Yeah. This isn't U of A sports, but the Arizona Bowl was my favorite sports moment of the year, and I think it was yours too.
Yeah, that was, there's no doubt in my mind, that was the top moment.
Yeah, I mean, we saw Ali Farhang down on the field right after New Mexico State had won that game. There were tears in his eyes.
I've become a New Mexico State fan.
Me too.
Because I follow
all those guys on Twitter.
Mary Amocha, their AD on Twitter. They won everything this year.
I know.
They won the baseball championship. They went to the NCAA tournament in basketball.
Oh, I know.
Their football team, you know, their football team was only 7-6. And yet they had moments like you remember for the next 50 years.
I know. I compared a little bit to when Arizona with Rich Rod won that New Mexico Bowl with the onside kick and all that other stuff. And you sit there and you go, people are weeping over a 7-6 or 8-5 finish in New Mexico Bowl win. But to them, it was big.
Yeah.
And to New Mexico State, that may be looked at one day as a game that changed everything.
Their image is changing.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you been to Tucson Mall lately? Have you been driving
up Oracle? I've seen the signs there, the big ad signs.
I mean, all of a sudden, Tucson is New Mexico State Aggies country.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's crazy. What is your one big prediction? What will be the biggest story of next year, do you think? Give me a good one and a bad one. Give me a best case, worst case.
Well, the best case is that Arizona starts in football by beating BYU, Houston, and USC.
Right.
And they're 5-0. They'll be in the top 10 if that happens.
And Khalil Tate will be on everybody's Heisman Trophy list.
If they go 5-0. If they go 4-0.
Mm-hmm.
And USC arrives late in September, it'll be a top 10 game.
It'll be a college football
game day.
Game day, yep.
To me, that has the most potential of any story on campus, is if Khalil Tate can recapture what we saw for 1 month.
Right.
It's going to be hard because defensive coaches have a scheme on it.
Right. And they've changed the system. I mean, we don't know if Khalil Tate's a good fit for Kevin Sumlin's system. Or if Kevin Sumlin will change his system to fit Khalil Tate. We don't know.
And my second one would be, I think now, by midseason, the Arizona women's basketball team can draw 3,000 or 4,000 fans per league game at home.
Right.
Because it will be exciting.
Right.
For the first time in, 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it. You never know with baseball because of the pitching situation.
Sure.
And U of A basketball team, the league's going to be bad, but it just doesn't look like Arizona would have a chance to win it.
It doesn't look, they don't have very many players who would have started on any teams of the last 5 years here. To me, Greg, my takeaway, and maybe we can finish here, as Arizona's basketball program began to kind of shudder with D's, not T's, shudder. Shake and stall out this year. I was reminded of just how thin a margin we deal with when it comes to sustainability of sports at the U of A, that Arizona basketball needs to consistently be a top 10 revenue producer or top 20 revenue producer for all of the other sports to exist. Not to thrive, to just exist. And they're tacking on student fees and they're doing all this other stuff. I would love over the next year to see some of those other sports make up a little bit of ground, if not financially, then in terms of interest around here, so that if the Arizona men's basketball team does finish sixth in the league, there's still stuff to talk about and sporting events to attend. Women's basketball is a perfect point. They're never going to make money, but if they could draw double what they are drawing, it's a step in the right direction. I don't think U of A baseball will ever be a Southeastern Conference type of school or you're getting 10,000 people and barbecues and tailgating before every game. But if you could boost your attendance there and be a little bit better wins-wise, be 5 wins better, I think that's a step in the right direction. Because whether we like it or not, and whether it happens this year or 50 years from now, there's going to come a time when the Arizona basketball program hits a deep valley.
Oh, yeah.
And that's going to affect everything and everybody in Tucson. I think preparing for that day, in a way, by every other sport on campus, trying to get incrementally better, and as sports fans, maybe trying to try out some of these other sports, I think that's a step in the right direction.
You know, to that point, I buy one season ticket every year in the middle bowl at McHale Center for my wife or whoever wants to use it. I didn't renew on May 1st.
Wow.
On like May 4th, I got a certified letter asking me to reconsider. Wow. Certified letter. I had to go to the post office and
Get it. Had to go sign?
Just for one ticket.
Wow.
That told me that they are really concerned about ticket sales.
And did you reconsider?
Not yet. There's no hurry.
You're right. There's still time. There's still time. No, I know. I know. And you know, to me, I think, and look, this extends out to the Tucson Roadrunners, the arena football team, however we want to do this. I think that the lesson learned in this last year is I think we all put a lot of weight in the success and failure of the Arizona basketball program. And when they struggle, Tucson struggles. And I think that's what makes it special. But I also think that that's a dangerous way to live.
And isn't it funny or ironic that Arizona State went 8-10 in the Pac-12 this year in basketball, and yet it stoked up the whole campus.
Right.
8-10.
Right. 8-10.
Swept by Arizona.
God. Well, Greg Hansen, thank you for sitting down. This was extended. This was good. I like this. Thank you for sitting down and talking to me. I'm sure we'll do some more as the summer goes on here, but thank you for helping me put a bow on the 2017-18 season. That'll do it for this episode of the Wildcast podcast. For Greg Hansen, I'm Ryan Finley, reminding you, please support not only us, download us where you can download your podcasts, support our sponsors, do all of that. We will see you next time.